The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to a brand new edition of Ruthless Aggression. You know me, you know Rob, you know Chris. We have Judgment Day 2005 to talk about. For the foreseeable future, the final SmackDown pay-per-view of one John Anthony Felix Cena, or John Felix Anthony. I don't have his full name in front of me right now. And we're also going to talk about the recent cuts that happened literally a couple hours ago in WWE, including one of our favorites on the NXT side. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But we're coming off, Redacted Backlash that happened this past Sunday. Two huge main events. Let's talk about the main event. And that was Roman Reigns and Cesaro putting on another heater in the annals of heel Roman Reigns. The man just does not miss as a heel. I was talking to my brother. Last night. And, you know, the years that we had Roman as a face, where he was just this bland baby face. They were trying to make him the new Cena. All of that, the vitriol that he received for so long from fans, I'm so glad all of it happened. The suffering, succotash, all of that shit. Because without it, we don't have Roman Reigns as he is now. And Roman Reigns right now is the most untouchable person in professional wrestling.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, like, you know, you can say what you want about, like, I know some people didn't like the Jey Uso matches, but everything else since then is just...
I think the Jey Uso matches were great because of the storytelling. Like, it wasn't like a blow-you-away match, but they were great storytelling.
No, and I mean, you know, I know we talked before about, oh, you know, maybe Kevin Owens should have got one over on him once in a while, but those are just such small things to complain about, really, in the grand scheme of things, because he really has been untouchable since August now.
I'm guessing Chris ain't got shit to say, huh?
I was just waiting for the mic to connect there. My bad. Oh, no, yeah, I would agree there. Obviously, he's, as you may or may not have heard through the Patreon and the WWE Top 25, Reigns has made his way in. I think that May's performance is going to probably solidify him as a mainstay there. And I think that, you know, the sky's really the limit for him as a heel. And as we've said before, and I'll say it again, I would not care if that man is champion until next WrestleMania. Hell, just have him hold the title for a Bruno run at this point. Who is on his level?
Okay, okay.
Nobody. Nobody is on his level right now. I mean, Finn had it for a while, but I think it's Roman's ball to run with now.
Bruno's two reigns together equal 11 years, correct?
You don't want that.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the sentiment. Let's hold the brakes. But Roman has been electric since he made the flip to this fuck you. I don't even know if, like, because obviously he is a heel, but he's a heel that everyone wants to see be this badass. You know, it's not even like 96 Austin, right? Where, you know, Austin's doing heelish shit, but the fans are getting over. Like, we want to boo Roman Reigns. We want to hate Roman Reigns because he is so good at being him, at being this dominant figure within the Federation. He's just been excellent. And kudos to Cesaro. Cesaro was as brilliant as we hoped he would be once he finally got into that main event stage. I believe this was his first ever main event match in the Federation. And, you know, the strength that he showed, it was another great form of storytelling from WWE, because what do we know Cesaro for? His strength, his ability to overcome and to just be able to pull out of his ass strength that we have never seen from a wrestler of his stature. I mean, he's a strong ass dude. He's very built, but like, that's some shit we would see out of like Mark Henry, the kind of counters and the way that he would, you know, get himself out of some of those submissions that Roman was putting him in, that, you know, would have laid out a Daniel Bryan or would have laid out an Edge. So it added a different layer to the match. Definitely Cesaro's best match in the Federation. I mean, it's kind of hard to say that's Roman's best match of the year just because he's had two other really fantastic matches, but it's up there.
I think it might be, though. I mean,
I need you to get closer to the mic, my man.
Oh, there we go.
Hold on. I think I switched it off. Are we good now?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think it might be his best match just because I know the triple threat's very good. You know, the Bryan match is very good, but that Cesaro match, just both of them just at a high level for almost 30 minutes. It didn't feel like 30 minutes, and just great stuff. Yeah, I think the ending was a little weird to close on Seth Rollins, but, you know, whatever.
That's something that they could have did on SmackDown.
Yeah,
they could have done it on SmackDown, but I do wonder if it's a prelude to what could happen next month. I don't see Roman competing in the Cell again because they're doing Hell in a Cell now.
No,
just like I don't see Bayley and Bianca fighting in the Cell.
And some people
for similar reasons, because you have two people who both fought in Hell in a Cell 8 months ago. You don't need to run them through it again. I wonder if Seth and Cesaro are going to be in
unless the Cell. It's going to be Roman and Jimmy, right?
Yeah,
and unless it's going to be Roman and Jimmy, that would make sense. But yeah, I wouldn't have, you know, Roman and Cesaro. Like it seems like it makes more sense that Cesaro and Seth will blow off that feud in Hell in a Cell than Roman and Cesaro.
You know how you could avoid this situation is not have Hell in a Cell happen every year, or in this case, happen within 8 months.
It's kind of dumb that Hell in a Cell is a pay-per-view, but like, you know, 10 years ago they decided, oh, we're going to have all of our gimmick matches turn into pay-per-views because Hell in a Cell and TLC and Extreme. They could have did Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules started in June, the original One Night Stand.
So
if they wanted to hold off... if they wanted to hold off Money in the Bank, what was Extreme Rules last year? It was in December?
It was in July. Yeah, Extreme Rules was in July, and now they're apparently doing it in October.
Okay.
Which I guess fits spooky theme.
Well, yeah. But they flipped it.
They flipped it with Hell in a Cell, yeah.
It doesn't need a fucking spooky theme. Like, that was...
It doesn't...
Last year, they did it because, like, you know, they were in the pandemic, not a bandemic. They had to make do because, you know, we're doing cinematic matches now. We're not in front of fans. Cool. Now, I guess they're just going full Halloween Havoc with it and, like, whatever. Hell in a Cell, it kind of... I understand why they pushed off Money in the Bank. They want that in front of fans. It seems like that's going to be the first... But show like, for the fans, and it should be, but like, yeah, we don't need Hell in a Cell.
They could have just done away with it. Yeah. I'll be honest. If they put that on a hiatus this year, I would not have cared. It's too soon.
Well,
it's way too soon.
No, I get it, though, because I think, you know, of the gimmick pay-per-views, it's probably the one that's least kind of favorable to fans just because of how it's set. It's hard to see.
Then, like I said, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because right now, you have no feuds that really... This is... For Hell in a Cell, they always force feed it, but this is going to be the worst defender, in my opinion, because you're gonna force feed a lot, and I know that the reactions are gonna be like how they were for the Women's Chamber, except on steroids here. But you don't need a Women's Hell in a Cell match either, because none of the feuds dictate it.
Feud going on right now that dictates Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
not at all.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, you're not wrong.
I understand it, but I just wish they would have put it on hiatus for this year. If they were, if the choice was run it in June or not run it at all, don't run it at all.
But we've also seen, you know, in what we're watching, three straight years where they do a Hell in a Cell match around the same time of year, where I think only one of them probably, maybe Triple H Batista, but Batista's already beat him twice. So, I mean, we'll see that.
Well, this is my point. They don't need to do it. It doesn't need to happen that way.
Yeah, I would definitely say Triple H Batista needed to blow off in Hell in a Cell.
It did, yeah.
That's fair.
It did, because it was.
And the one before that would have been Shawn.
Shawn.
Triple H. And yeah. That actually, I mean, you could say, you could talk about the length or whatever, but that actually was the blow off to that feud. That's never true. Feuded after that. So
they didn't. And to be entirely fair, they ran Hell in a Cell 6 months later too, but Orton Taker also dictated it because of how that feud lasted 9 months.
I guess it's different because, you know, this time, you know you're getting one, so it feels forced. I get it.
You're not getting one, you're getting like two.
Well, yeah, that's
at least
thing. Like, I don't know on the Raw side who you put in there because, you know, it looks like they're going to run with Kofi again, which is cool.
Some in me says that's all smoke and mirrors. Because why is Drew there?
Drew is there to just be a thorn in their side.
Does he have to be?
No.
He doesn't, exactly. but I mean, who else is going to... Who else is going to assist in the visual of the top?
You don't need anybody to assist in that. Like, Kofi Kingston doesn't need anybody but the New Day to be of assistance to him. And he garners that sympathy from the crowd, that energy from the crowd all by himself.
Yeah.
We're forcing Drew in there so we can keep Drew in a main event scene. You can fucking peel him out for a little bit. Drew... I mean, hell,
I think
they wanted to do him and Sheamus, I'm fucking cool with that. But he doesn't need to be taking away from Kofi's spotlight. That's why it seems like smoke and mirrors to me. It's like, all right, if you're gonna run with Kofi and Bobby, which would be a great match,
yeah,
run with it. But we don't need Drew in it.
I think it's a 1 week thing because I think Drew is gonna be feuding with Jinder.
Yeah, that's
where I think they're going.
Forgot about Jinder.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I think Drew is feuding with Jinder. They're moving a lot of parts on Raw, and I think that Drew is going to be positioned against Jinder for a little bit.
Speaking of Raw and, you know, Drew McIntyre, that triple threat match was excellent. And I was not expecting it to be. They did a really good job with that. And, you know, credit to those three guys. They busted out some shit, and they made it work because that's not a match that a lot of people were high on.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, this could possibly be a sneaky good match. Like, we were all apprehensive about it because of Braun, but Braun added an element to that match that I want to say was needed, but, you know, it made it a really good match. It really did.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to Bobby Lashley for bringing the hose back to Monday Night Raw. Something that... the champion of AEW / Impact / AAA doesn't bring to the table. So
that's correct.
Appreciate you, Bobby. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just, you know, thinking about Backlash kind of overall, it was a good show. I mean, you know, there were only six matches. We got out quick. You know, the one match that maybe didn't work for people was only 7 minutes. I don't think it requires...
Basically was paid programming.
I don't think it requires a level of performative angst.
Oh my God.
Certain Sirius XM radio hosts
Man, like me and my brother has Sirius XM ever since he got his new car a couple years ago. So he got turned on to Busted Open. Like, he enjoys it, but he acknowledges that Dave LaGreca's, I don't want to call him a piece of shit.
A blowhard? He's a lot.
He's a lot. He needs to not be that kind of guy. He needs to realize that this ain't the fucking 70s and the 80s. And that's kind of why I stopped listening to it after a while, after Doug Mortman left the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became Dave and Bully and Mark Henry. Because, you know, Bubba Ray and Mark Henry are going to feed into Dave LaGreca's love for old school wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when he goes into his bag like he did the other day, it's not even a really big bag. It's a BB. He's got a BB. When he goes into his BB bag like he did the other day, on this product placement that happened with The Miz and Damian Priest. And he gets very preachy and annoying, and he sounds like all of the incels on Twitter who stand up and complain about WWE but aren't willing to acknowledge the faults about, you know, the indie wrestling scene or AEW or New Japan, because that's real wrestling. That's the wrestling I grew up on. Bullshit. You want to go back to the 90s and all the jokey joke clown bullshit that happened in the early 90s, the early to mid 90s? Doink the Clown, Mantar, Duke the Dumpster Drunk. Yeah. And granted, those were, besides Doink, those were all trash.
Mm-hmm.
In Duke Drosty's case, it was literal trash. But it's product placement for WWE and for a soon-to-be Hall of Famer who has made the successful transition to Hollywood, and now it is in this big movie franchise like Army of the Dead that is going to make money at the box office. Of course you want to be tied to that, and of course you want to do Dave a solid. And like, no, I saw Dave on the internet talking about it, and you know, Dave is Dave when it comes to, you know, way WWE creative is. I ain't really worried about it, but like, it's all for promotion. It's all for promotion. And if you have such a problem with that, but you didn't have a problem with the fucking explosives a couple months ago that just looked so, so corny after they built up that match to make it seem like it was going to be dangerous. I'm not sure if like we even went to that much detail about it besides just laughing about it. But, you know, I watched the Nick Gage Dark Side of the Ring, which, by the way, best Dark Side of the Ring they've done so far. Oh, wow. If you can get past the gore that comes with Nick Gage and the blood that comes with it, it's a fucking phenomenal story, what that man's life. Jon Moxley's in it, because Jon Moxley, his earliest years were in Combat Zone Wrestling, going up against Nick Gage, having death matches against Nick Gage. You promote what's seemingly a death match featuring Jon Moxley. And then you go out and have the ending that you did with a whole bunch of fucking sparklers and made him look like a fucking dweeb. So how is that any different, if not worse, than, oh, we're going to have a bunch of zombies attack The Miz in the middle of the ring? Who cares? Who fucking cares?
It's really just a never-ending cycle of wrestling fans feeling embarrassed. And they don't want to be because they think it's cool, but it's really not. And they just can't accept the fact that it's just niche and they just need to go with it.
I mean,
things can be bad. I'm not dismissing that. Things can be goofy. Things can be silly. Maybe they're not for you, but like, just embrace it and don't be performatively mad or upset about shit.
So
like,
performatively just, mad.
They're stupid. Like, just accept wrestling for what it is. Yeah, things can suck, but don't.
It's campy. Wrestling. Sorry, I cut myself off. Wrestling is historically campy.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that happened on Sunday that's any different than what WWE has ever done in the past.
Yeah.
Besides make a fucking check off of a movie.
And it's like, you know, just watch what you like, too. Like, and even if there's something you don't like within what you watch, just shut up. I mean, who cares? Like, you know,
Please don't get that mad about it, like vein-poppingly mad. Lord,
I watch Dynamite pretty much every week. I don't like the Young Bucks, though. I don't watch their matches. It's not hard.
Dave was a big Lucha Underground fan. Lucha Underground did campy-ass shit every week on television, and we enjoyed it. So let's get over that, seriously. In that same match, Miz tore his ACL. I don't know if it was a partial or complete tear. And I guess depending on the status, he could be out somewhere between 4 or 5 to, 9, 10 months?
It feels like, you know, if he finished a match, it's probably not a complete tear. I don't know for sure, but...
You can't quite say that.
Yeah, because your adrenaline's running.
Yeah.
You're not feeling that shit.
I guess it's not like the NBA where if it happens, you know, you can take him out right away. I mean,
but even then, like, you know, sometimes you can walk fine if you have a torn ACL.
Well, yeah.
Like, I remember
Tiger Woods, when he did the playoff US Open, I believe
exactly.
He did one the whole time.
And I remember when Jordy Nelson tore his ACL a few years ago, he was able to walk off the field fine on his own power, but he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
So sometimes your body doesn't really know how to respond or whatever. You might be running on adrenaline.
That's fair. But yeah, no, it sucks for Miz.
It does.
You know, the one bright spot, I think, is John Morrison has really been impressive lately.
Yes.
And that's me saying that. So so he'll be fine. You know, I think they were heading for a split anyway. Obviously, just not in this fashion. But, yeah, it sucks for Miz. But he'll be back and he'll be fine, hopefully. And if, you know, if he wants to call it a career, he's done everything there is to do.
He's not calling it a career.
No, I don't think so.
If you saw his was it Chronicle or 24/7? I can't remember. I think it was 24. Who cares? It was this documentary. If you saw Miz's documentary on Peacock, he feels like he has so much unfinished business and so much left to give in this company, and he'll be back and he'll be just as popular and just as good. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Damian Priest, we talked about it on the 25. He was on the top 25. Go listen to it. $10, patreon.com/barbershare network. That's a dude who I can definitely see being in the Money in the Bank chase. I mean, I would rather him have a shot at the United States Championship, probably win that first. But he has an opportunity to win Money in the Bank, and I wouldn't be mad if he did, honestly, because he ever since he got to the main event, he's looked every bit of a future superstar for the company. And what, he's like 39? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean,
a whole bunch of more years.
No, and credit to them for that. You know, he is 39, and they realize they kind of have to elevate him immediately. And, you know, I think the Bad Bunny stuff probably helped him, you know, with confidence and all that as well. And I think he's pretty much said as much, you know. So it's cool. And he's just continuing to kind of roll with it. And, yeah, it's cool. Because, you know, when Damian Priest got to NXT, it was like, oh, this guy's kind of just a guy. Because, you know, he didn't really stand out. But
yeah, he wasn't a star in Ring of Honor.
No, and you know, he kind of stood out a little bit in NXT towards the end, and then he came up. And ever since he's come up, he's really been a pretty big deal. So it's cool to see.
Yeah, most definitely. Rey Mysterio and Dominic are SmackDown Tag Team Champions. They are the first adopted father and son to win the Tag Team Championships. I know Eddie is smiling up in heaven watching his son and surrogate win a championship. I know, you know, we were kind of saying, yeah, they should do this in front of a crowd. Oh, well, I don't think it really took away from it that much, them not winning it in front of a crowd. It was still a good moment. Wound up on ESPN. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think the only...
It was the second longest match on that card, too. Holy shit.
Yeah. I think the only thing is that if they weren't going to do... This is just me nitpicking. If they weren't going to do it in front of a crowd... Couldn't do it next month on Father's Day?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Is Hell in a Cell on Father's Day, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
That would have been cool. Because like they did that with Curtis Axel when he won the Intercontinental title. Yeah.
I was there. Remember that. But also, like, that was because Fandango got hurt unexpectedly right before he got a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly would have won the Intercontinental Championship at that point.
Oh, yeah.
He was hotter than hell. They had to pivot. I think it was Miz, Curtis Axel, and who was the third in that match?
I have to find out in 2 seconds
because
I just beat it up. It was...
Payback 2000.
Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett was the champion.
Right. So, yeah, like that was a nice little pivot move on Father's Day, and it was pretty cool. That would have been really cool to see on Father's Day, but alas, they're champs now. Yep. We'll see what happens with them moving forward. I don't think there's anything more to talk about on this card other than I was really rooting for Ricochet going into Sunday and coming out of Raw on Monday. I'm very not much rooting for Ricochet right now. He has to stop being a dork online.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that shouldn't matter. I get it, but it's just a lot to overcome. And he doesn't, well, I shouldn't say he doesn't seem like a bad person because of who he surrounds
himself with. I think he's more of an
idiot
than he is a bad person.
Yeah, but yeah, sometimes you got to just not, you know, post.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
And I'm begging the roster to not be so gotten to by these social posts. This is the second or third time this has happened. Like, stop.
Yeah.
It's just for engagement. Relax.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be gotten to, just make one post and go.
Exactly.
Or you can do what, you know, Twitter's implemented things to, you know, when you tweet that you can only have people that you follow or nobody at all reply to your fucking tweets. You get quote tweets, yeah, but you can mute it and not see the quote tweets. Mm-hmm. So more wrestlers need to do that. More wrestlers need to. I'm not doing the whole, hey, if you don't like what's being said online, you should log off, because there is a lot of bullshit and a lot of vitriol that people throw out online for no fucking reason.
Yeah,
especially as fans, as regular people, because we assume that either A, we're entitled to say it, or B, nobody's going to see it. And more times than not, people are going to see it, and sometimes it's very vile. And so I don't want to put that message out there, but, you know, you have the ability to control what you see online. And I need wrestlers to utilize those tools, especially, you know, now in this day and age where everything is just run on social media. And, like, you know, you build your character on social media. And we've seen superstars be elevated by social media, and we've seen them crumble and be diminished and torn down, and sometimes tearing down others who were just caught in the crossfire just by association because of the things that we do and say on social media. So yeah, Ricochet kind of needs to just peel back for a little bit in the things that he says. He, you know, I know he didn't mean, you know, what he was saying about, you know, the other wrestlers on that graphic, including EO. Like, it was just one of those things where, like, you know, you end up saying the wrong thing and you don't necessarily mean it, but once you say it, you can't take it back. So
yeah,
just do better is all I have to say.
Also, he needs to stop dabbing.
God, yeah. Lord have fucking mercy. It's not 2016. Seriously, who the fuck is dabbing in 2021? Lord have mercy, dude. What are you doing? AEW will be moving to TBS in 2022. It was announced today that Dynamite will make that move in January to the It's Funny station for Turner. They'll still have an imprint on TNT, debuting, I believe, in August 13th on Friday. They will have a one-hour show called Rampage. So their second weekly television show. This is huge for AEW. They'll also do four specials yearly, which I thought they already were doing four specials. But maybe it's kind of different. Maybe they don't mean like, you know, when they do Blood and Guts and as a Dynamite episode, maybe like a Clash of the Champions kind of.
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be. And I think they trademarked Battle of the Belts, which is, I guess, as good as you can do when WWE owns the other one.
Yeah. Fine.
Wait, do they own Clash of the Champions, or do they just, because they only do like Clash of Champions, which I think is stupid.
I think if AEW did Clash of the Champions, it's close enough where they get in trouble.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess the notable thing, well, they'll still do the YouTube shows, Dark and Elevation. So that's four shows technically a week. And the notable thing about Rampage is that it has an airtime of 10 o'clock Eastern, which means it will begin airing as soon as Friday Night SmackDown ends on Fox. So once SmackDown ends on Fox, flip over to TNT. You got an hour of Rampage. It's the second hour of TV. This is in part due to Turner now getting in bed with the NHL. They got the B package for the NHL. They'll be doing the Stanley Cup Finals every other year. They'll be getting some pretty marquee games, playoff games. I would assume that, you know, because TNT has the NBA on Tuesday and Thursday, we will we'll see the NHL, their premier night on Wednesday, which was already their premier night on NBC, NBCSN. But it makes sense to just shift to TBS in that regard. I think it's better that they're on TBS and not TNT. But like overall, this is a huge move for AEW. It's continuing to build the profile of AEW.
Yeah. And no, I think, you know, moving to TBS is good, especially if hockey's going to be on TNT, because then you're going to get preempted by hockey and basketball, where on TBS, maybe you'll get one week for baseball.
Yeah, you might get one
because they only have the division series.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you're LCS.
Yeah, they have the LCS. You might get clipped once or twice in the month of October, and then that's it.
SmackDown's gonna too, though. So whatever.
Exactly. Hold on. So they're on Wednesdays, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. The first four, that's on True TV all the time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. So that's not going to be a problem.
So they're not going to run into that. So they're going to get preempted less because, you know, for the NBA, it's going to end up being four or five times because TNT has the first three rounds, right? Instead of,
They would get clipped. Their Rampage show would get clipped during the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
It's an hour-long show.
Yeah, exactly. So you're running less of a risk of getting preempted by being on TBS versus you falling, you know, falling under to the NHL and to the NBA, which of course they are. Pro wrestling is never going to supersede the major sports in America, even if the ratings are somewhat comparable. There's just too much money in the pro sports leagues for these networks to pass up versus what they get from wrestling. Oh,
yeah. And do I think that people are going to watch a show at 10 o'clock on a Friday night when things are open back up? Probably not, but
they're infringing on 205 Live's territory.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't matter. You watch it the next day or whatever.
Man, 205, like the logical thing would just be to turn 205 Live into a second hour of NXT or a second NXT show. It already is, basically.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're still doing like, oh, it's the show for cruiserweights. Fuck that.
It's the same. I can attest to this because I'm one of like the 12 or 13 people that still watch it. They have the same wrestlers going in there every week, so it is what it is. I'm just making a joke that they're stepping on their turf. But yeah, I don't know that they'll get quality ratings, but I mean, do they really care? No, because they're getting more content out of it, and that's really all they're aiming for. It doesn't matter.
No, it is what it is.
100%. But it's great for AEW. It's great for pro wrestling.
Very great. Yeah.
You know, I don't know what this ends up meaning for other promotions. You know, will Impact start to be coveted by? I'm not mean that seriously. Will Impact start to be coveted by another not by a TNT or a TBS, but what's a station out there that is not on the level of the Turner stations or USA, but it's not True TV? I was going to say Freeform. Like, okay, Paramount. Let's just say Paramount wanted to get back into the game. What if a Paramount wanted to, you know, throw some money at bringing Impact back and they can have Impact on Tuesdays just to have a stake in the wrestling game? You know, because AEW proved that they can be on a TNT and a TBS and they can succeed. Granted, like, you know, they had a little bit more of a buzz behind them than Impact does now, but... You know, I would hope that this has ramifications lower on the rung of wrestling than just WWE and AEW.
I would be surprised if Impact moved only because Anthem owns them both and Access TV.
Oh, that's right.
That is my only thing there. I would be surprised.
Yeah, but... Yeah, no, I mean, but, you know, there's a Ring of Honor who could maybe look for a deal that's not just syndication. I'm not going to say NWA Power because NWA Power is bad now.
Well, they also have the Bally stations. So
yeah.
More likely, they'll end up on a Bally station.
Maybe MLW gets pretty hot on Vice and then eventually jumps somewhere else.
They jump to A&E?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm mostly kidding.
But, you know, but yeah. it's interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see if it plays out, and you know, if the wrestling bubble bursts or if it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Let's hope it keeps getting bigger and bigger. I really hope it keeps getting bigger and bigger. Bronson Reed is the new North American champion in NXT. Your thoughts?
I don't mind it. I don't mind this, even if they do drop it back to Johnny at In Your House. I think that, you know, Johnny was champion from what, like January onward or whatever it was. Because I remember the Leon Ruff stuff happened late in the winter.
Yeah, he won it. He had it for a while.
He had it for a while. This was like his longest singles title run. And so I don't mind doing the switch, especially considering they have made it a point to say that this was like the anniversary of his first match. And Bronson's a guy who I think has made a lot of strides there. He's, you know, he's quietly
Once
been
they
hanging
doing
out
that
there.
Thick boy shit.
You know, he's doing the colossal stuff now because he's the colossal Bronson Reed. And I think he's developing into a really quality big man who I think still has plenty of room to grow. Let's see, how old is Bronson Reed? It's actually what I want to see now. Bronson Reed is only 32.
That's not bad.
He has a long way to go. I think he can develop into something really nice for either NXT or if he goes up to the main roster one day. But yeah, don't have a problem with it, even if it's a quick reign. Gargano's run, by the way, started at TakeOver War Games. So he was champion for 163 days.
Yeah.
Which, so. By my count, is the third longest North American championship reign. Although, depending on who you want to recognize, you could name him as the second longest behind Keith Lee.
Yeah, that's, you know.
So, and also worth noting that Bronson Reed is yet another person of color who is holding the North American Championship. He joins Leon Ruff, Damian Priest, Keith Lee, Redacted, Ricochet. So they have a nice little lineage.
The Dream win?
Yes. Dream is actually the longest reigning North American champion, unfortunately.
Oh, no shit.
No,
yeah.
Also did not know that he was Samoan, so congratulations.
Yes. Yes.
What was I about to bring up? Before I continue, did you guys see the Dark Side of the Ring with Nick Gage?
No, not
I
yet.
Did not
you
yet.
Know what the thing is? I wasn't like interested in Nick Gage or death matches, but everyone has said it's good, so I'm gonna need to check it out now.
Yeah. I I'll hold off on going, you know, deep into it. Like I really didn't know who Nick Gage was until a couple years ago, and seeing, you know, people kind of, you know, get up for Nick Gage and his deathmatch style. I'm not a deathmatch person. I'm just, you know, when you incorporate that much blood, like I'm not saying I don't respect it, because obviously, like, you put your fucking body on the line. This is one of the reasons why, like, I will always have the utmost respect for Mick Foley, because you sacrificed everything. You're paying the price for it now just for our entertainment. Nick Gage sacrificed more than just his body and his blood and possibly dying in a fucking helicopter for us. He sacrificed years of his life going to prison. So it's to me, it's the best one that they've done so far. And I'm also looking forward to the double dip in the Warrior. We get the A&E show on Sunday and then Dark Side next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They do Collision in Korea tonight, which I am very excited for. I'm very excited for all of that. Oh God, I keep trying because I keep forgetting shit that I want to mention, and this is why I do rundowns, because I always end up forgetting shit. Cuts. There were cuts today in NXT. Of the superstars who were released, Alexander Wolfe, Skyla Story was cut, which I'm just now finding out.
Mm-hmm.
That upsets me.
Yeah.
I was really hoping to see Brandi Lauren. I was just really hoping to see Brandi Lauren.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised because she had only gotten signed in October, but obviously they don't have a dearth of women there, so I guess it was sort of a situation where I'm not even because that one was confusing to me just because of how recently she was signed. And she always seemed to be around there, but I do wonder maybe they'll bring her back one day. I could definitely see her coming back one day.
Mm-hmm. Ezra Judge, who I hadn't seen ever perform, but he's got a really good physique. Also released was Vanessa Bourne, who had been at home tending to family for a while. Jessamyn Duke, one third of the Shayna Baszler's horsewomen. And Drake Wirtz was also released. And this was the one that was a long time coming because Drake Wirtz is a fuckhead. Now, I don't subscribe to Fightful Select. Support Fightful Select if you do. So I'll let you guys kind of talk about some of the things that they broke while covering the release of Drake Wirtz.
Yeah, so you had brought up Ezra Judge. It is interesting that you did because, well, it's sort of ironic that he got cut today. And this is, for the record, it doesn't seem like this incident was related. But among the stories that emerged amid Wirtz's firing per Fightful Select, there was an incident where Judge almost felt the need to get physical with Drake backstage because there were a couple of instances, and this is quoting from the report, there were a couple of instances where we're told that minorities within NXT took exception to the way things were worded by Wirtz. One situation we've heard of involved EJ Nduka, Ezra Judge, almost feeling the need to get physical with Drake. There were numerous times where talent, specifically people of color, went to NXT higher-ups about situations like this. So there were a lot of times where Drake Wirtz could have gotten his ass beat, and quite frankly, if it was by Judge, he would have been sent to God.
Yeah, yeah. You know, imagine being deemed too racist for WWE. Like, that's, you know how hard that is? Point. Wow. You know how hard that
the
is?
The worst person in the world makes a very good point.
No, but you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, you wouldn't be cool with it if someone was fired for, like, you know, leftist views. And no, I probably wouldn't be, because that more closely aligns with my views.
But guess
these
what?
Don't. This, these are toxic.
But also, like, that doesn't matter. That doesn't preclude you from being fired from a job.
Also, here's the thing. Someone saying that, you know, everyone should have free healthcare or something isn't the same as saying if you wear a mask, you're a pedophile. It's just not.
The correct. Extreme, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, and he said that. I mean, that's like a direct quote.
And also, according to the report, he was loudly criticizing wrestlers for getting vaccinations or even flu shots. Imagine criticizing somebody for getting a flu shot.
Yeah.
Like, this dude is clearly beyond the pale. And there were apparently also instances where he was trying to position himself for certain roles within the company and was putting heat on others to get there, which makes you wonder about how he was the referee for Ronda Rousey's first match in WWE. Because if he did it then, he did it now. He obviously probably did it then too. So he was, I'd be more curious to hear about that. Like, obviously I know he's a racist shithead. And also apparently after In Your House, which was when Triple H and Shawn Michaels had both delivered a speech, and in the middle of the George Floyd Black Lives Matter stuff, he was paraphrasing that all people of races, genders, and religions were welcomed, and he apparently took exception when religions were mentioned, and he loudly and aggressively gathered his belongings and left the meeting room, which is like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, he won't be missed.
No. He will not.
I'm glad they got rid of him. You know, say what you want about some other people that still work there that, you know, maybe they should have also gotten rid of, but this is a step in the right direction. And, you know, you don't get rewarded for doing the bare minimum, but
I mean, it's good that he was gotten rid of at all. I mean, it was clear. I think it was clear, though, that this was going to be the resolution. He wasn't going to stick around for much longer.
No, it was evident
that, especially since I saw, I think it was John Alba, who had said that he had heard from wrestlers who said that they felt, like, you know, uncomfortable around him.
Mm-hmm.
because they believed he was racist, which he so clearly is.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have that.
No.
Like, that's not, that's a hostile work environment.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks about the other people that got released. Hopefully they land on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, goodbye and good riddance.
Yeah, Drake no Woods. One's going to miss him.
Not a single fucking person is going to miss Drake Woods. I mean, maybe Jackson Riker is going to miss him around.
Maybe Nia Jax.
Yeah, you know, they were besties. But yeah. Nobody else is going to miss him.
Nope.
All right. Let's go back to the year 2005. We got Judgment Day coming up on Sunday. But first, we have a SmackDown to get to and also a very important Raw. It's the finals of the Gold Rush Tournament. And a very important happening in the main event match that is going to shape the course of the next, honestly, probably the next 6 years.
Yeah.
Just wrestling, but at least one of the central figures in this match.
Yeah, no, exactly. So we'll go back to 2005 here real quick. We do actually have a couple pieces of news this week.
We do. Let's go. So, Holla Batgirl is still topping the charts at number one. By Ciara and Ludacris jumped up to number two. We Belong Together by Mariah Carey is starting its rapid ascension up from 7 to 3 this week. Hater to love it. And just a little bit drop to 4 and 5. Top five movies in America. Number 5 was Unleashed. Number 4 was Crash. Didn't that win Best Picture or whatever?
Unfortunately, I thought so. because you know, the Academy doesn't recognize black movies unless it's involving very terrible, not nuanced trauma like Crash does.
They just watched it in high school. Yeah, it sucked.
They made y'all watch Crash in high school. What high school did you go to?
Wheeling.
Yeah, I could see it. So you probably had like a whole bunch of kids that went to fucking what's that goddamn Christian school out there?
St. Viator.
No, college.
Oh.
I forget the name of it. I had a couple teachers that went there. Yeah, they were definitely Crash fans. Started with a W. I just can't remember the name of it.
Mm.
Oh well.
So number 3 was Kicking and Screaming. Number 2 was Monster in Law. And of course, number 1, making a whopping 100 and is that in yes, $108,435,841. Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith.
Yep, the movie that saved that entire trilogy. We don't really have to go too deep into it, but it's a great movie. I remember going like late as fuck at night in Crestwood to go watch that.
Oh wow.
On a Sunday, so
should we I'll save the NBA playoffs update between SmackDown and Judgment Day, I think. So
yes.
Let's zoom into the
I am watching a live implosion of the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh no, they're back up too.
Oh there geez. We go. So
we have wrestling news this week though.
We do. We haven't had some in a while. Luther Reigns is done with WWE. Was expressing concerns about not being used correctly, and I guess he has some real estate investments in Phoenix that he can do, but he's out for now. Doors open if he wants to come back, and he never does come back. So, you know, hopefully he's doing well now. Sources say Lita has expressed discomfort with her real-life drama with Edge being exploited for an on-air angle, especially because she still has feelings for Matt Hardy and the two are on decent terms. She knows the storyline is going to be booked to play up a real-life romance that, to the best of anyone's knowledge, never got as far as serious as many think. Well, she's right.
Yep, right.
You know.
And then a bigger piece of news in the independent wrestling world. Bryan Danielson was apparently leaving Ring of Honor. Similar to Samoa Joe, he's hit a major depression point regarding the business. It's the deal of working his ass off, getting great, and seemingly not mattering since WWE and TNA had shown an interest in him, although there is at least some interest in him now, and New Japan hadn't brought him back in nearly a year. He was tired of working the US Indies when it's based in high spots and building to a lot of false finishes, and is leaving for Europe to work there all summer long and make a decision there. Ring of Honor did an angle where he lost in Chicago to Austin Aries. That's unfortunate. And made the angle that being unable to beat Aries put him into depression and he was leaving wrestling in the United States.
I would be depressed about that too.
I would be also. Shawn Michaels also underwent an MRI on his knee earlier this week. He blew it out on a house show in Evansville early in a match with Christian. The results are not back, but he would need another operation. While he's continued to have great matches, it has been obvious that he's been getting off the ground and his knee is nowhere near as it was before his last arthroscopic surgery in October. On Raw, they announced he had suffered a concussion from the briefcase shot from Edge. The concussion angle was actually planned and listed on the website as a legit injury the day before the actual legit injury in a weird case of karma. That is very interesting.
Also, phrasing it as he blew out his knee really
that's not great. That... Yeah, that's not great phrasing.
Yeah.
Also,
he'll be back.
He will be. Also, quick, before we get started, May 15th, 2005, the day of TNA Hard Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And as you may or may not remember, AJ Styles defeated Jeff Jarrett in the main event that night with Tito Ortiz as a special guest referee to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship Jeff Jarrett. Abyss won the 20-man gauntlet for the gold to become the number one contender for the NWA World Heavyweight title. Christopher Daniels defeated Shocker to retain the X Division Championship. The Naturals defeated AMW to retain the NWA Tag Team titles. Monty Brown and the Outlaw defeated DEP and Ron Killings. Raven defeated Sean Waltman. Michael Shane and Trinity defeated Chris Sabin and Tracy in a mixed tag match. Team Canada, Eric Young and Petey Williams defeated Apollo and Sonny Siaki, and in the pre-show match for entry into the gauntlet for the gold, Sharkboy defeated David Young.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can get into 2005.
Indeed.
From Omaha, Nebraska, Raw.
This has to be one of the first shows that...
Yeah, the Quest Center.
Yeah, the Quest Center. They're not the Clink yet. They're not Shy Health Center Omaha yet.
I think they opened in 2004.
This is one of their first shows there.
And we begin with a match. Chris Jericho and Shelton Benjamin against the Sound Navarri. You know why we started with a match? Because Triple H isn't there.
Correct.
Shelton actually got a huge pop.
He did.
People
in Omaha, he's over like Rover at this point. I'm not surprised because look what happened 2 weeks ago.
Also, Jericho and Shelton are just doing like a bunch of natural tag stuff, which was cool.
Yeah.
Jericho goes through the walls of Jericho, but he sees Navarri on the apron, so he kicks him off, but then walks into the skull crushing finale from Hassan. And Hassan and Navarri get the win. Shelton tries to talk to Jericho, and Jericho just kind of leaves. Chris Benoit and Tajiri are talking. Paul Heyman called both of them and invited them to ECW One Night Stand. Benoit says they should have an ECW rules match tonight. William Regal comes up and they explain the whole situation to him, and he says it sounds bad and they shouldn't do it. Also, the best part of this is Tajiri explaining everything in Japanese and Regal and Benoit just clearly going along with it. Good stuff. Eric Bischoff's talking to Ric Flair. Coach runs in to tell him about the ECW rules match, and he tells Coach that he'll have to wait. Flair says Bischoff needs to call Triple H and make things right. And Eric says if Triple H wants to come back, he can make the call. And then he tells Flair to handle it.
Yes. So we move forward to Ric Flair versus Christian. Tomko keeps messing with Flair behind the referee's back. Christian went for a pin, used the ropes, but the ref saw it. Flair rolled him over and he used the ropes and got the win. Then they do a 2-on-1 beatdown and Batista comes in for the save. Interessante.
It was nice. Lita and Christy are talking in the back, and Edge comes up and says what he did to Shawn Michaels is nothing compared to what he's going to do to Kane tonight. Christian tells Maria that he's mad at Batista, and this is not over. Chris Masters is here. If someone can break the master lock, it's up to $6,000 and a one-way ticket out of Omaha. A fan comes in, and he taps immediately. And Steven Richards comes out and starts fighting with Chris Masters, because Chris Masters broke his face months ago.
He did, with that Polish hammer in his debut.
Yeah. Kane comes up to Edge backstage and grabs his throat, tells him never talk to his wife again. Good luck.
So we get the ECW rules match. They played the old ECW theme by Harry Slash and the Slash Tones. Jerry Lawler is not happy about this being an extremely crappy wrestling rules match. And Benoit put the jury on a table, set up a ladder in the ring, climbed it, and then Coach came out and ordered the match to be stopped. Bischoff came out and said there will be no ECW and he's taking a group of Raw wrestlers to ECW One Night Stand.
I'm sure it'll go well.
I'm sure that will go
actually,
very well.
The Raw wrestlers, yes. The
Raw wrestlers, yeah, it goes fine.
Also, Eric Bischoff's having a funeral for ECW next week. He didn't say that, but he is. Ah, so that's fun.
What a great segment that's going to be.
Christy beats Candice in a lingerie pillow fight. And Viscera comes out in a very large suit and tie. invites Lillian into the ring and onto the bed and gives her his hotel room key. This went on for a long time.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Kane tells Lita that Edge won't be bothering her anymore. Wants her to come to the ring with him.
Once again, good luck, pal.
Good luck, man.
Good luck.
Shelton asks Jericho if he's all right because he just kind of walked off earlier after the match. Jericho says that when you've been around as long as he has, losing one match isn't a big deal. He's been so busy with other stuff like touring and having a band and all that. And he says Shelton should come to a Fozzy show.
Yeah. So we get Rosie and Hurricane against Simon Dean and Maven for the World Tag Team titles. Got Super Stacy.
Yeah.
And Rosie and Hurricane win.
Yeah.
And then we get a random appearance from Randy Orton. This is because
very mean-spirited from Vince.
So Vince McMahon sent a message to the wrestlers on the May 16th episode of Monday Night Raw. Orton made a surprising return on the show for no other reason than to be a surprise star and serve as a conduit for McMahon, letting everyone know that if he can stay muscular during his double quad surgery recovery, anybody can. So Orton came out alone first and got a pop. He turned the fans against him and then said that he was tired of everyone asking where he'll end up in the draft lottery. Vince then made a surprise appearance and told Orton that A, he needs to find a way to stay thick and muscular when he's off the road because his suit was hanging off of him and his neck looked like a twig, and B, that he and everybody would be eligible for the draft lottery. One of the most glaring examples of McMahon's arrogance of power and obsession with bodybuilding and machismo.
Okay, so in fairness... In fairness to Randy, he had surgery like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But Vince also has a point, because Randy looks bad. I mean,
that's just going to happen.
You know? Vince also said the draft is going to be all month long in June.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to do it.
It is.
It's time for Kane against Edge in the Gold Rush Tournament Final. Late in the match, Edge shoved Kane into the ref, and he went down. Edge got the briefcase, and Kane hit a big boot. He dropped it. Lita grabbed it. And Kane goes up to the top rope. Lita slides it to Edge. And Kane comes off the rope. And Edge hits Kane with it. And Lita revives the ref and counts the win for Edge. So Edge has a title match, I believe, next week?
Next week, yes.
Against Batista. And he's aligned with Lita now.
Yeah, this is the beginning. I mean, I wasn't reading the dirt sheets at the time. So I'm watching this without any understanding of Edge and Lita's personal history. I'm just looking at it as like, okay, well, Lita's finally turned heel for the first time in her career, and now she's aligned herself with Edge, and that's a major boost to Edge. And it is, because, you know, up until this point, like, Edge is trending towards main event status, but it always, even rewatching this, it's felt like he's missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And Lita gave him that. Lita gave him that extra edge, quote, you know, so to speak, to, you know, grow into an even greater heel and a more hateable wrestler. And yeah, you know, once all the other stuff comes out to light and they bring it to the forefront on television, it even more makes him a more hateable person. And you know, say what you will about what this does for Lita, like, I don't think that aligning herself with Edge did Lita any favors. Like, let's keep it 100 with you. Like, Lita faced a lot of bullshit in her last couple of years, even down to the day that she left and retired. They didn't let her retire with grace and dignity. They threw her fake panties out in the air.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is more so what it does for Edge than what it does for Lita. But from this point on, Edge is the top heel on Raw. You know, Jericho is going to get his shot at Cena once Cena comes over in a bit. Angle's going to get his shot when he comes over. Triple H is going to come back into the scene. But from this point on, Edge is the most hated person on Monday Night Raw.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Well, and, you know, the whole, like, Lita and Matt are still kind of on good terms thing is interesting, because in the next couple weeks, Lita's going to be on Bite This, and Matt's going to fucking call in, and they're just going to, like, go at it on the air for 15 minutes. So... It's interesting. It's a very interesting time. Did you have your basketball?
No, I was going to do that before between SmackDown and
SmackDown, May 19th, 2005 from Sioux City, Iowa.
16-year anniversary.
Yeah, look at that. I don't imagine they run Sioux City too often anymore.
No, I would be surprised if they did.
Carlito's here to open the show with Carlito's Cabana. Says Big Show shouldn't have told him no last week, but he found someone bigger and better. It's Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan agrees to be Carlito's backup. Big Show comes out, tries to get a choke slam on Carlito, but Matt Morgan hits him in the back with a chair.
Actually, believe it or not, this was the first taping for SmackDown at the Tyson Event Center.
Really?
They ran events up until as recently as 2016.
Yeah.
Mostly house shows, but they did have a SmackDown taping there in December 21st, 2014. Raw was there on July 1st, 2013, which I find really interesting.
Yeah.
Because that was 2 weeks after that post-payback Raw that, you know, where Christian Mark came Henry back and with Mark Henry. Yeah, so they were there also in January of 2009. I wonder if that was... There was a main event of Shawn Michaels defeating John Cena in a 24-minute match.
Okay, so they did run it quite a bit.
Yeah, okay.
That's fair.
Okay. Anyways.
JBL runs a campaign ad where he has come to the inner city to explain to John Cena's fans what Cena and other rappers are all about. He says all rappers are thugs and they belong in jail. That has not aged well. You cannot say that. They go back to the arena where JBL's facing Scotty Too Hotty. And not much of a match. JBL just kind of chokes him with his belt for disqualification, gets a mic, and makes him say, I quit.
You know, I can see the concept behind this. Scotty Too Hotty is a beloved veteran. He gets good reactions. He's a sympathetic figure. JBL's beating his ass. You don't want to root for this guy.
No.
He's already an ass, but he's beating up poor Scotty Too Hotty. Like, for what?
And who else on the roster is he going to face? You know, I mean, Holly and Charlie Haas are doing their shit now.
Yeah, they're doing their thing. So yeah, I don't mind the concept. Conceptually, this works.
Yeah. Booker T is in Teddy Long's office, and he's upset because of what Kurt Angle did last week. He wants Angle tonight, but Teddy Long says Angle's not there, so Booker has to wait till Judgment Day. But he can face Mark Jindrak tonight. Booker doesn't care about Mark Jindrak, but Mark Jindrak runs into Charmel in the hallway and starts saying all sorts of inappropriate things.
Yes.
And Booker starts beating him up right there. And they fight all the way to the ring. And Booker eventually...
He bloodied him up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets the win. So Teddy Long says that JBL can't lay a hand on John Cena tonight when Cena faces the Bashams. If JBL gets physically involved, he'll be heavily fined.
And then, Heidenreich... Before that, Eddie Guerrero went down to the ring with Ray's mask, went to talk, but just chose not to.
Yeah.
Tense scene.
That's good stuff when a heel just getting shit on and they just, instead of actually talking, just let it happen. And
exactly.
I miss that. I hope we get more of that.
Yeah.
You know,
same. It's good. It's good shit.
Yeah.
It really is. So then we get Heidenreich, who beats Orlando Jordan.
Non-title match to earn a title match at the pay-per-view.
Yes. Also, the fan that he plucked out of the crowd clearly did not want to be there.
No.
That was the funniest part about it. Like, the kid was just like, okay, really?
Mm-hmm.
You could read that face. It was really funny. We got Hardcore Holly versus Joey Mercury. This was pretty decent.
Yeah.
It was.
Hardcore Holly on the Alabama Slam was not particularly gentle.
No, it was not.
Shocking.
Very shocking, yeah.
Charlie Austin and Hardcore Holly will face M&M at Judgment Day. So, Kurt Angle's at WWE Studios to apologize to Charmel. He says he's sorry for his actions last week. He's not proud of what he did. He made a mistake. But Charmel was only screaming because she wanted more. Charmel fondled him and they both loved it.
Yeah, he said that she molested him.
Yeah. Kurt's going to beat Booker at Judgment Day and give Charmel what she wants later that night, and Booker kicks the TV onto the floor.
Also, they cut to the Judgment Day press conference at one point before the main event, I think it was, and they had ran a clip where Kurt said that he was going to beat Booker and then have his way with his wife. Not cool.
No.
Not something you should say at all whatsoever.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Curtis said on his podcast that he regrets this, but he's like, you know, I wasn't going to tell Vince no. I respect him too much. And it's like, you know, maybe here you could have. Maybe once in a while, it's okay. I mean, Josh Matthews interviews John Cena and basically cuts him off and calls him a street prophet and says he's busted a cap with his words of rap. Josh Matthews is bad. He's very white.
Big pop for the street prophet thing, though.
Cena's taken on both Basham brothers, and they put him in various holds while JBL yells at him on the mic to quit. But then eventually Cena overcomes the odds and gets the victory. That's how we end SmackDown.
So, decent show heading into the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's cut to the NBA playoffs here and where we're at heading into the weekend. The Heat, by May 14th, had finished off a sweep of the Washington Wizards. They beat them handily in four games and closed it out with 42 points from Dwayne Wade. Also 13 rebounds from Udonis Haslem. Also out in the East, Judgment Day was May 22nd, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So also by then, Detroit had finished off Indiana in six games. They won the final game 88-79. That's a really ugly score. Elsewhere out West, Phoenix beat Dallas in six. Every game in this series, both teams scored over 100 points. So they were pretty far ahead of the curve in 2005 for what basketball was at that point in time.
No, it feels real exciting.
Yeah, like they went off. I mean, I'm looking here. It's like 127-102, 108-106, 119-102, 119-109, 114-108. And then the final game was a 130-126 win in overtime. So that was a really exciting series, I would say.
Yeah.
And then last but certainly not least, San Antonio finished off the Sonics 4-2, finished it with a 98-96 win over the Supersonics at Key Arena in Seattle. That's unfortunate. So, yeah, the conference finals are set. Miami is facing Detroit, the top two seeds in the East. And Phoenix is facing off with San Antonio, the top two seeds in the West.
Yeah, both are going to be really, really good series. I mean, we got fire series for the rest of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Two seven-game series, and then I believe that the Spurs and Suns goes a very testy six and controversial six, too. So,
yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. Let's get to Judgment Day.
Yes, let's get to Judgment Day.
From Minneapolis, Minnesota, which I think is their first pay-per-view since
SummerSlam 1999. Which correct.
Is a long time to wait.
Especially for a wrestling-rich area like Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean...
SummerSlam 99?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, you know, after the AWA shut down, they weren't necessarily a wrestling-rich area. I think they're just really, really into the AWA, and that's about
that's
it.
That's fair.
I mean, you know.
That's fair.
We open with Hardcore Holly and Charlie Haas against Eminem for the SmackDown tag titles. Hardcore Holly's getting chance.
They were over. Mm. Haas and Holly were over.
Yeah. They get a series of near falls, and then Eminem retain with the snapshot.
Honestly, I think that that's a credit to the younger dudes in this match.
Yeah.
To Eminem, how hateable that they've become in such a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
That guys like Holly and Haas, I mean, Haas is obviously, you know, he's probably really well liked at this point. He's never really done anything bad, I would say.
No.
And Holly is a veteran. People, you know, like him, followed him. But I think it's a credit to Eminem to be able to generate that much heat.
Mm-hmm.
They're checking off all the boxes right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're doing real well.
Yeah.
So then after that, before the match, Carlito versus the Big Show, where Matt Morgan is his backup. He said he was talking to his good friend, Randy Moss, and he said that he left Minnesota because they're not cool. They also do not appreciate talent like Matt Morgan. That's an interesting statement to make. And after a ref bump, Morgan came in and hit an F5 on Big Show in Minnesota. And Carlito covered for the win. Rob?
I didn't think about the Minnesota part, but yeah, this looks so unnatural.
Yeah, I'd prefer if he didn't hit F5s. I understand you're in a lawsuit with Brock Lesnar right now. You want to stick it to him, but he's probably not watching anyway. So, you know.
Also, he's probably laughing at that point.
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I can do this shit better than that guy.
Like, you know, Brock hits it and then just kind of like falls back. Matt Morgan hit it and then just like dove backwards.
Yeah.
It was not good.
No, it was not good.
Sharmell is hyping up Booker backstage. He's ready to take Angle out tonight. Sharmell gets a delivery, and it's handcuffs and lingerie from Kurt Angle. Booker says he's going to kill him.
I mean, you know what? I mean, that's justifiable. If he brought out a gun, I wouldn't blame him.
Paul London's in action against Chavo Guerrero for the Cruiserweight title. London retains with a 450 splash. It's fine. Chavo Guerrero.
You really don't care for Chavo Guerrero.
He's not great.
His WWE, you know what? His WWE run hasn't really been that great.
Yeah.
Except for the first few months when he was tagging with Eddie were like the peak.
Yeah.
And that's fine because he's probably more of a tag wrestler than he is a natural cruiserweight, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's fair to say.
Booker's out looking for Angle. Meanwhile, in the dressing room, Angle comes up behind Sharmell and covers her mouth and says after he beats her husband, she's all his.
That is very uncomfortable.
Yeah, not great.
Very uncomfortable.
Let me go right into the match, and they start brawling right away, so that's good. You know, you don't want to start with a lockup in this situation. Angle goes for an angle slam, and Booker rolls him up and gets the win, and though I wasn't technically supposed to be the finish there, but, you know, what can you do? Sharmell comes in to celebrate with Booker. Angle takes him out, almost handcuffs her to the ropes, but Booker comes back in to save the day and handcuffs Angle to the ropes and punches him, and then Sharmell kicks him.
You know what? This would have been a good way to cap it if it wasn't so insidious.
Yeah.
Because Kurt's obviously getting his comeuppance for being a piece of shit, but the thing is, he's being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to look past it.
Exactly.
It's really hard to look past. Like, if they toned this, they were up to like freaking 25 here. If they were at like a 7 without Kurt was being, you know, a menace or whatever, fine. It's way too gross.
I don't want to say like there's a tasteful way to do this because it's not.
There's really not.
There's like an appropriate way to do it because there's not. But there's a less bad way to do it.
I guess there's a less bad way of saying that you covet someone's wife.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I shouldn't say that because it's not really tasteful the way that they're doing it on Raw either.
Wow.
They're playing off of real life emotions, and that's bullshit.
Orlando Jordan defeated Heidenreich to retain the United States Championship
in a match that definitely happened.
Yeah.
Now let's get to the good stuff.
Time for Rey Mysterio against Eddie Guerrero. And watching it, I think I enjoyed it more than their Mania match. You know, Eddie gets the upper hand for most of it, and then Rey kind of gets a comeback going, and they're just both very good. Eddie gets a series of near falls and just keeps getting more frustrated after each of them, and then Chavo has to come out and distract the ref, and Eddie gets a chair, but Rey kicks him, and he drops it. Rey gets Eddie on the ropes and takes Chavo out before hitting the 619. But then when he goes to the West Coast Pop, Eddie hits him with the chair and just beats him up with the chair after. So, and you know what? Like, maybe, oh, you know, it's a 20-minute match. It shouldn't end with a disqualification. But I think this is a rare occasion where it's not a bad idea to do that.
It's not because, and also it furthers the idea that he can't beat Rey because who won the match? Rey.
Yeah.
And Eddie is so obsessed at this point that he's just dishing out more anger. And it's like, this is a way for him to get even angrier at the situation because he knew that if he hit him with the chair, that Rey was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
This was going to further drive him insane because he wants to be like that. And I can see why you would like this match more than the Mania match because this one has a lot more layers.
Exactly.
The Mania match, it was just getting started. They did it. They had a great opener, obviously. It's one of the best openers ever in WrestleMania history. But this one has a lot more layers to it now because the story has evolved so much. And there's a good guy and there's a bad guy. You had in the Mania match, it was two good guys. I mean, that's fine. You can get away with that. But if you're taking this deeper, you need to have sides picked. And everyone hates Eddie. Everyone likes Rey. So there's natural gravitation to it and it evokes more emotion out of it. So again, I can see why you would like this match more. And I haven't actually seen this match in a really long time. Because I haven't watched Judgment Day 05 in a really long time either. I liked it a lot. I thought this was great.
Don't mess.
And like you said, the finish worked well. It, like Austin Angle at SummerSlam 01, is a rare occasion where a DQ finish is totally fine.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's time for the main event. JBL against John Cena for the WWE Championship. I quit match. Michael Cole says this is the first I Quit match since Mankind against The Rock, but he is forgetting about Vince and Stephanie.
He's also forgetting about a match apparently between Triple H and The Rock, too.
Yes, the night after the Mankind and The Rock one, you know.
Which I totally forgot about, and then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that one.
They go into the crowd pretty much right away. That was fun.
Also, I like
to see... Did he mean the first main event match on a pay-per-view?
That could be true. That could be true.
That would make
more sense. I did like Cena's entrance, by the way.
Yeah, Cena.
Cena's entrance is...
I hated the fucking scratching of the turntable.
Yeah, that was... turntables
needs to just hang that shit up for the rest of time.
The fireworks and the visual, that was cool.
Yeah, the truck was cool.
But the turntables, yeah, I can see why.
You know, they go into the crowd right away. That was good. JBL got a belt and started whipping Cena like he was doing the other day with Scotty. Mm-hmm. Got a powerbomb Cena through the table, and Cena back body dropped him through the other table. JBL hit Cena in the head with a chair, and this is where we learn that John Cena does not know how to blade.
He does not. he does not.
JBL chokes him with his chain. They fight on the limo, and there's blood all over the limo now.
Which Cena had already...
Yeah, I mean, also one of the windows gets kicked out, and the horns are off, and one of the doors comes off.
He also walked across into the ring. He's just wildly disrespectful.
Yeah. Cena throws JBL through a television set. Cena takes a smokestack off his truck, and he's going to ram JBL through the glass stage, but JBL quits and thinks that he's smart.
Because he pointed to his temple. Yeah. He's like, oh, I didn't feel this.
And then
not so fast.
Cena puts him through it anyway, and...
There's just so much blood.
What am I
saying? This is a chaotic ass match.
Oh yeah,
it's very good though. Like Cena needed this, I think.
Yes, to propel him. I think because the Mania match, it was a little flat.
It kind of was what it was, and then, but this one, you know.
This one with the entrance, and then the fanfare, and then them just beating up on each other. The big finish at the end. Like you said, Cena needed this to propel him to stardom.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, credit to JBL. This is kind of, I don't want to say it's the end of his run as a main event guy, because he'll be back, you know.
In a couple years, but this is the end of his...
Like his big run.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He did a good job with it. For a guy that, you know, you probably never would have imagined would be champion, he did a good job with it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here watching Steph Curry, because... They're already up 9-2.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so this is actually timing out very perfectly. I'm going to give Cena.
Yeah.
King of the Ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes sense. So, yeah, I'm going to go watch the rest of this game, because we're going to be slandering one team, whether it's the Warriors or the Lakers. I just really hope it's the Lakers, because it's going to be funnier. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinOneO31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Follow us at BarberShitNet on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/BarberShitDigital. Sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/BarberShitNetwork. $10 will get you the top 25 that we dropped over the weekend. See who topped out number one, by the way. It's somebody that's not even in the company anymore because he's a free agent. Funny how things work that way. But you also get summer sessions. You'll get some special editions of the 40-40 Club, which, by the way, emergency edition for all of you Sox fans that are really pissed off at Tony La Russa, and rightfully so. It's a really good episode that we dropped last night. That's on the main feed. Just scroll back from this one. You should find it. It's very fucking easy. I'm going to go enjoy. Woo! Andrew Wiggins is balling. That's the weird thing. I'm going to go enjoy this game. We'll see you guys next week. I don't even know what we're doing next week. We're talking about wrestling. We'll just talk about wrestling next week on Ruthless Aggression. We'll see you guys later.